Hey guys, welcome to Crypto Life 365 Day 20. It's Michael Tazzani and I'd like to talk about some economics today. With regards to Bitcoin, or cryptocurrencies in general, there's two ways to secure the system. One is called proof of work and one is called proof of stake. The more well-known one is proof of work, and that's the one that Bitcoin uses. Essentially, what it means is that a lot of people using specialized computers called miners spend a lot of electricity looking for random numbers that will match a specific difficulty, it has a specific difficulty of finding it randomly, in order to use those random numbers to sign off on and secure blocks of Bitcoin transactions in order to make sure that nobody else can go back and change them in the future. One of the big issues that people keep bringing up is that such a task, this mining, takes up a whole lot of electricity. I think right now the estimates are that it's between 2.5 and 7 gigahertz of electricity that's being used to mine Bitcoin, or put another way, the estimates are that it's 0.5% of the world's power generation. I'm not sure if those numbers are right. They actually seem a little bit too high. But regardless, the concern is that there's way, way too much power being used to mine Bitcoin, that all this mining is wasteful, and that it's going to only get worse and worse as Bitcoin prices go up and Bitcoin mining becomes more adopted, more popular, and more profitable. So that's kind of a layman's understanding of the problem, but as an economist, one of the things I've noticed in a lot of economics is that a lot of the things that are in it are very, very counterintuitive. That's actually why most populist movements and most people in general who have no understanding of or no education of economics don't seem to understand how the world actually works and how there's a lot of counterintuitive the ideas that seem pretty straightforward end up working in the exact opposite way of intended. Whereas ideas that seem to be completely horrible and damaging are actually extremely beneficial. There's a lot of examples of this, but this whole idea about us using up so much electricity on Bitcoin mining creating a major problem is actually a great example of this. And the reason actually stems from not just the basic supply and demand of economics. This is where, as supply of something increases, the demand remains the same. The price of something goes down, and as the price of something goes down, while supply remains the same, the demand goes up. And well, look up supply demand; it's fairly basic. But in this specific case, one aspect of the market is that if there is a demand for something, you would think, I guess common sense would say that if there's a huge demand for something, then we will use it up and it will go away. So in order to preserve it, what we need to do is reduce demand for it. And this is where all the conservation movements, the recycling, all that other stuff comes from. Whereas what actually happens in reality is that in the world, not when I say reality, I mean like the world that we live in was actual events and historical precedents and things that are actually happening around us, is that when there is a higher demand for something, instead of us actually using it up and it going away, on the contrary, we have people figuring out how to create more of that in order to satisfy that demand. Because what happens with demand is that as items get, as the demand for something goes up, and a supply remains fixed, the price for that item goes up. As a result, people see that it's more profitable to sell this item, and they put a lot more resources in trying to figure out how to create more of it. So, for example, you might think, well, if we have a small town and there's only two pairs of shoes being created every year or so. If more than two people start asking for new pairs of shoes every year, then what will happen is we'll all run out of shoes. What will actually happen is that if more people start demanding shoes, people will realize that shoes are in higher demand. Shoemakers they'll learn how to become shoemakers, and will try to create new shoes by themselves in order to satisfy the demand, just so they can earn more money on making those shoes. So whereas common sense might think, well, if we have too many people buying up shoes, then we'll have no shoes to go around, the actual reality is that if people start asking for more shoes, the town will actually have more shoes. And it might actually, well, at that point, more complex things like economies of scales kick in, which is that that's a concept where price or cost per production of item, per unit of item, decreases as you create more and more of these items. So, for example, you might have the cost of the shoes might be the leather that goes into them, the hammers used to make them, and the building that they're actually made in, which might be a pretty high cost. But if you were to build, let's say, 20 shoes as opposed to one pair of shoes, you still use that same hammer, you still use that same building. So now the cost associated with that building and the hammer are actually divided by the number of shoes. So per shoe, the cost is actually lower. Basically, the more items get created, so in this case, it's a small town, so it starts creating more shoes. As a result, cost per shoe will actually go down because of economies of scale. Sorry if I'm throwing a lot of terminology at you. This is like high-level stuff, but hopefully it will keep with me. I'm just kind of touching on surface-level stuff here. Sorry about that. So, in the same way, another actual historical examples of such things that are happening in our lives was whale oil. A long time ago, we had an issue. Well, a long time ago, we didn't actually have petroleum oil. We only had whale oil, and we used that extensively for things like heating and lighting. And as a result, we were killing off quite a lot of whales. We actually got to the point where whales got on the endangered species list. But what happened was, instead of us killing off all the whales, as the number of whales decreased, their supply decreased, and the demand increased, the cost of the whale oil actually went up quite a bit. And as the cost of whale oil went up, we started looking for alternatives to it, which beforehand were not really cost-effective to look for, because there's plenty of cheap whale oil around. But once the whale oil started to deplete, we started looking for alternatives that may have been infeasible or too costly at the time, such as petroleum, and switched to that. So once we switched to petroleum oil, again, economies of scale kicked in. Petroleum oil drilling and refineries became much cheaper, and it became much more feasible to use petroleum oil, even up to the point that it was actually cheaper to use petroleum than whales. So once we switched to petroleum, whales started to come back, and at this point they're actually recently removed from the endangered species list. So in effect, our demand for more and more oil resulted in us finding ways of finding more oil and ended up saving whales. Whereas if we had went the conservation route, where we saw that whales are a problem, so let's only limit it to only having certain number of whales being hunted a day or a month or whatever, and we actually maintained whale oil production to a certain amount, there's a chance that I mean, maybe the demand for oil would have still gone up and it would have not affected it, but there's a chance that we could would have just pretty much maintained ourselves on whale oil indefinitely, and the whales would have been under the same kind of a constraint or threat as before. Another example of this is paper, and more specifically, rainforests. So, it's a conference back in the 90s and early 2000s, and it's, the whole idea kind of seems to have died out recently, but there was this major movement about preserving rainforests because there's a lot of deforestation, because we were using so much paper for office products and other stuff. We were cutting down large amounts of rainforest for paper. And in order to solve that problem, the idea was that we would recycle the paper and we would try to conserve paper usage. But what actually happened with regards to paper was that once China joined the global market and had a massive, massive, massive demand for paper products, we realized that paper that we were getting from just rainforests and regular logging was not actually cutting it. So companies started to look for ways to make paper production a lot more efficient, specifically pulp production. One of the biggest ones was in Chile, and that company actually figured out how to genetically engineer pine trees to where they can get them from planting to harvesting within 6 years. Not only that, but they were actually growing them in pre-planned forests that were made much, much easier to harvest because they were set up in a way where they were just down the line, so a harvester, instead of having to deal with all the brush and other issues, would just go down the line, harvest the trees one by one. And this one company in one country of Chile is able to provide paper pulp products for the entire country of China. But more importantly, the way that it figured out how to do it, where it's able to get paper pulp in a much more efficient way, much cheaper to harvest, much cheaper to plant, and much cheaper to maintain the land, they made it so that the cost of production of paper pulp for them is actually a lot cheaper and lower than it is for loggers in the old loggers who used to work in rainforest, So they actually made it so that rainforest loggers or rainforest logging companies are no longer able to compete with producing the paper. So because of them, because of this company in Chile and some other companies that are using the same kind of methods, it's now a lot, rainforest logging is no longer really an issue because it's basically been made obsolete by the increased demand of paper. It wasn't conservations, it wasn't recycling of paper that led to this result. It was actually a massive, massive increase for paper, demand for paper and paper used by China that ended up saving rainforests and solving the problem solving the problem in the end. And in the same way, the concern with Bitcoin mining is that people think we have a limited resource, this would be electricity, and we are wasting a whole lot of it, and people believe that because of this we will start running out of electricity and there'll be issues. And again, the knee-jerk reaction, or the common sense reaction, is that what we should do is move away from wasting electricity on Bitcoin, use some other kind of proof of work systems like proof of stake, and try to cut down basically on usage, because the fear is that if Bitcoin mining uses more and more and more electricity, then in the end there'll be less electricity for everybody else to go around, and that'll be creating a problem. So again, the solution, the common one, is conservation. What actually will be happening, and is already happening to a point, is that not only are Bitcoin miners developing more efficient ways of using electricity, both through innovations in electronics and innovations in managing power at various electricity production warehouses. And by the way, this is what I mentioned, the first one. It's actually a major, major deal, because Bitcoin miners are pushing to have more efficient silicon that will be able to do more calculations for less power. That, in effect, has actually already affected the computing industry as a whole, where they have pushed the efficiency and speeds of silicon by at least 6 months in this forward at this point, for not just for miners, but for all the other computers as well, because Bitcoin mining hardware uses the exact same processing hardware that all the other computers do. So in effect, by Bitcoin miners trying to become more efficient at doing their mining, which are just basically senseless random number calculations, they've actually made all our other computers and electronics a lot more faster and efficient as well. But back to the main point with regards to using up electricity as they are, instead of the long-term trend of this is not going to be that electricity will start running out and we really need to conserve Bitcoin mining and worry about being wasting so much electricity. On the contrary, what is going to happen and has started happening already is that Bitcoin miners will start looking for ways of creating more electricity more efficiently. This will obviously include things like renewable resources and more advanced electric generating technologies. So just like with whales or with paper, instead of being up in arms about all so much electricity being wasted by Bitcoin miners and promoting the idea that we should conserve wasting of all of this electricity and moving on to something else, we should actually be encouraging use of electricity by Bitcoin mining, because it is a profitable endeavor where there's an actual direct incentive to find more efficient and better means of generating electricity in much more abundant ways, which as a result will allow not only Bitcoin miners to keep mining and creating more coins at a more and more efficient way with cheaper and cheaper electricity, but all those technologies that Bitcoin miners create will actually be usable by the rest of the people in the rest of the world too. So some Bitcoin mining farm might create some new way of generating electricity through some new fancy solar panels. There's nothing to stop us, the rest of us, from being able to use those solar panels as well, or any other kind of technologies. So that's kind of my economic rant for today. In summary, when demand for things go up, instead of us running out of those things, we typically find ways to make more of those things. So with Bitcoin mining, when demand for electricity has been going up like it has been, instead of focusing on trying to conserve and spend less or use less electricity and claiming that this is a major, major problem that needs to be solved, we should actually be focused on we should not worry about this, because the end result of all of this will be that the world as a whole will have a whole lot more electricity that will be produced a lot cheaper and a lot cheaper and in greater abundance than ever before. Anyway, I just got home from my drive, so that's kind of should be the end of the rant. Sorry, this one took a little bit longer than my usual ones as well, but it's kind of an important topic that I have been talking about, but unfortunately not really promoting as much as I should have over the last couple of years. So, Michael Tazonia, Crypto Life, signing out till tomorrow. Bye.